Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session 2, Message 3, Special Fellowship Regarding the Gospel Work on the College Campuses, Part 1.
Did everybody get the handout, the Special Fellowship Regarding the Gospel Work on the College Campuses? I've really enjoyed, you know, not only does Christ live in us, but He wishes to for us to speak Him to others. In Galatians 1:16, what He revealed Himself to us, that we might announce Him as the gospel.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we announce this wonderful Christ as the gospel.
Amen.
And before we get into this fellowship, I'd just like to review a little bit. I just appreciated the brother speaking. On the first day, we saw that when we speak the gospel, this is not something we do in ourselves, but this is altogether a matter of the body and in the body.
Amen.
You know, we preach the gospel with our companions. And also, we saw the next day that we need the prayer. Right? We don't just get a companion and go, but we need to pray. We need to pray to get a clear sky with the Lord. We need to pray to bind the strong man.
Amen.
We need to pray to receive the Spirit, that we could just go out and dispense this one into others.
Amen.
So today, instead of getting into being constituted with the Word, and then tomorrow, we'll use this as well, as opposed to the speaking, the gospel. And those two messages are really good, so get into those when you get home. But we really felt led by the Lord to take some time to insert this special fellowship. And just to give a little bit of a background of why we're getting into this, you know, the Lord has been doing a lot on all the college campuses. Just the fact that there's over 300 young people here from the college campuses is just marvelous to me. In the past, I'd say 10 or 15 years, the Lord has been doing a particular work on all the college campuses in America. And the Lord's work is not, we didn't just set up shop and just go. But the Lord is always advancing, and He never stops advancing.
Amen.
And so this fellowship just highlights some of the advance that the Lord has been doing recently. As we've been endeavoring on all the college campuses, the Lord has been moving. You know, it's wonderful. Many campuses have a full-time team there to support the students, to be one with the students. But how this is carried out, the Lord is always showing us more. And really recently, the Lord has really opened our eyes to see that He would like to take a particular way. Even the Lord would like to do a particular turn in His body. And I was just considering and looking in the Word and just appreciating this first title here. It says, the Scriptures reveal that whenever the Lord wants to do something new or to change the age, He turns to the young people. Hallelujah, we are the young people.
Amen.
And the Lord today wants to do something new. And He wants to turn the age. So it's no small thing that He will do this through the young people. Right? He doesn't go to the last generation, but He goes to this generation. So I'd like to exhort you all, do not consider that you are too young. Right? Do not consider, oh, I don't know so much. Right? The full-timers, they know everything. Even you might be a freshman, you know, the seniors, they know so much. I don't even know where my classes are. How can I be useful to the Lord? But maybe we can read these verses here in 1 Timothy all together. Actually, maybe the freshmen can read these verses. 1 Timothy 4:12 and 14a. Go ahead. Amen. 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 Let's all read these too. Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Do not neglect the gift which is in you. Amen. Let no one despise your youth. It is so good to be young, because the Lord wants to use the young people to turn this age. You know, I was considering lately, the Lord wants to come back. But to do this, He needs to gain a generation that will bring Him back. And this generation is the young people. It is not with us full-timers. We're just here to help usher you in, to help bring you into these things, that you would be the generation to bring the Lord back. I'd just like to read from this sheet here. It says, the impact of any move is always with the young people. You know, whenever the world goes after something, the world always goes to the young people. But whenever the Lord goes after something, he too goes for the young people. He wants to gain this generation. It says the future of the Lord's work and the potential for the advance of the Lord's recovery lies mainly with the young people. Young people, you are the future of the Lord's work. You are the potential for the Lord's advance. It is no small thing to be a young person today. We must go on with the Lord, and we must do so in His way. I encourage you who are in college to take action without delay. Just so much impressed. The speaking, it says we like to go on in His way. You know, His way is by the young people, with the young people, and through the young people. Even if you are a college freshman, actually you are the top ones for the Lord to use. You know, you might not realize this, but you are the top ones. Who is better qualified to contact the college freshman than the college freshman, right? Who is better qualified? You are the ones who are qualified. You know, I'm young-ish, not so young. But for me to go to the college freshman is you know, they'll like me maybe, but it's just not the same. The impact is not there. You know, I might be that guy who reads the Bible with them. I can pray with them about some things, help answer some questions. But really, to gain the ones, with the Lord's way is to gain the ones, and he gains the ones. Birds of a feather, right? Birds of a feather flock together. You know, the college freshmen flock together. When you go to college, you're not looking for an old mentor, right? You're looking for those that are your age. And so I just like to impress you young people with this, that you are the ones. You are actually, in a sense, you are the face of the Lord's move on the college campuses. You know, the Lord, we hear a lot about the Lord's move. The Lord is moving in Europe. The Lord is moving across the United States. But actually, the Lord wants to move on the college campuses. Amen. And He does this through the young people. Amen. I like to read here on the second paragraph, it says, we need the young people to go to the campuses, especially those who are 18 and 19 years old. If you are 18 and 19, say amen.
Amen.
This is you.
Amen.
All the young people in the church life are useful.
Amen.
All the young people in the church life are useful.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I wish I was 18 or 19 hearing this fellowship, because I did not have this view when I was 18. I didn't think I knew anything. But actually, all the young people in the church life are useful.
Amen.
Even I'm burning that you would not receive the lie of the enemy that you are nothing and you know nothing. But actually, you are the ones that the Lord wants to move through.
Amen.
If He's going to gain His campuses, He is going to use the young people.
Amen.
If He does not have a group of young people on the campus, actually, the Lord has no way. He has no way to gain that campus.
Amen.
So don't consider that you need a big infrastructure, right? You need something huge. But actually, the Lord will just use the young people. If we give ourselves to Him, if we open to Him and consecrate to Him, He has a way to use us.
Amen.
And I'd like to also read here, it says, there is an open door for the 18-year-old freshman to contact other freshmen. A person is most effective when he contacts a person who is the same age. So actually, when we're going to the campus, we are going as seeds of the gospel. We are going to contact those that are our same age. Contact those that are in the same station of life. These ones are so open to receive. You know, if you think the young people aren't full of things, right? Not so occupied. They're open to learning new things, and they're learning new things and being trained in new things. And this is not just in the worldly sense, but actually the Lord would desire that we would be learning and be trained by Him how to cooperate with Him on the college campuses. And so in this fellowship, we just really like to highlight some points, just that everyone would be able to enter into this, and everyone would actually realize that they are the most useful ones for the college campuses.
Amen.
That the Lord would have this turn in the body, and actually we will hear from some students who are beginning to touch this.
Amen.
But the Lord is having a turn in His body, and this turn is with the young people.
Amen.
And then with these young ones, He would have a way to raise up something on the campus and to carry out His work on the campus. And so maybe we can read the next title together in the middle of the page. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. The campus work must be under the hands of the students.
Amen. So just to follow our brother, I think the Lord has been making a turn in his body related to the gospel work on the college campus. Amen. And we, although there was just a strong feeling among the brothers that we would insert this kind of fellowship and present it to you. Because you all, the college students, are an indispensable part of the Lord's move on the college campus.
Amen.
And you all need to be brought into the same page, the same view related to the campus work. And so just to realize that this turn from, the way I phrase it, from a full-timer-driven work to a student-driven work is where the Lord is bringing us to. In considering this turn, I just like to impress all of us that in relation to the gospel, we really have to have a body view. And, you know, we are all members of one body.
Amen.
And every member is indispensable.
Amen.
We need every member. And so with you all, as college students on the campus, your function is indispensable. No one can replace it. And so just to impress us in a fresh way with that, I'd like to just read to you some of the verses from 1 Corinthians 12. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's the one that had the vision of the body and very much ministered it through his epistles. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, he uses our physical body as an illustration of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And how even if you look at our physical body, we appreciate all the members of our body, don't we? We don't despise our little pinky, do we?
No.
I hope you don't. So let me just read a few verses, okay? And I'll bring it in the context of the gospel. Verse 14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Then this verse, "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' it is not that, because of this, it is not of the body." Right? So here, a foot may despise itself. It's low. It's on the ground. It's dirty. It says, "Well, I'm not at the hand. I can't do what the hand does, so I must not be part of the body." Right? We know that is ridiculous. Don't we appreciate our feet? I hope so. I'm going to use that in illustration in a second. I like to reword this a little bit. It says, "But if the student should say, 'Because I am not a full-timer, I am not of the body.'" Considering it that way is very enlightening. Sometimes you might think, "Well, I'm just a student. What can I do? I'm not a full-timer." Brothers and sisters, it is a precious thing to be a student.
Yeah.
Your function is indispensable. Hope we can be impressed with this. And I was just considering, in the context of the body, really the students' function on the campus, as our brother said, you're the ones that connect with the other students. And I really consider, you're the face. I also like to illustrate, you're the feet and the hands. Imagine if you chopped off your feet and try to walk around without any feet. You could say, "Well, I may be able to move around a little bit, but not very effective," right? Very much in our view now on the campus is where if we try to do something on the campus without students, it's kind of like walking around without any feet. We might be able to do a little bit, but we're going to fall down eventually, right? So the real effective ones, you're the feet, so that there can be the Lord's move on the campus. And, you know, just to bring in this point that the college campuses are the best fishing ponds in order to gain the young ones for the Lord's recovery. And we've seen in this reading, it's good to read it, that the young ones are the best ones to be gained because they're unoccupied, they're open, the ones on the college campuses are seeking for the meaning of life. And then you ask the question, who are the best ones to contact them? And the best ones are the ones who are the same feather, right? Who are the same as them, who are yourself, the students, who are in the same situation, they can identify with you. And when you speak the truth to them, they're open to receive it.
Amen.
So, so you're all impressed, right? You're the best ones for the college work. Okay, in order for this to effectively happen, we come to this point, which you just read, is that the campus work must be under the hands of the students. And, you know, I like to just bring out this in order to take care of time. There is some ministry here that is hair-raising to us full-timers. It's very helpful. It's very good. You know, the Lord's been burdening us
and perfecting us. There's been some prayer and realization. And then this ministry, which has been spoken of by our brother Lee back in 1967, began. We got really recalibrated on what we should be doing on the campus. So what I'd like to do is read to you and hopefully impress you how vital your portion on the campus is, okay? So if you look at the first paragraph here, it says, first, the work for the Lord among the students must be, you need to highlight that, okay, underscore it, must be, there's no other way, must be under the hands of the young people who are students. This point is of basic importance. The older saints sometimes think, older saints, listen, that the young brothers and sisters do not know how to carry out the work. Consequently, those who are in the work try to help them. I can tell you, I've been serving for 8 years, and I very much fallen underneath this category. However, such help only kills the work. The work among the students must be under the hands of the students. The work among the students can be carried out only in this way, that is, under the hands of the young people. I'm just going to read on, then I'm going to stop in fellowship. I would like to give a frank word to the saints who are not students. If you are neither a student nor of student age, you should leave the work among the young people in the hands of those who are. Letting the students take care of the work among the students makes a big difference. Isn't that a strong word? I mean, this is a calibrating word. And I have to repent that by my soul giving the help to the students many times has annulled their function. And what I like to do is just pick up on this little phrase, it makes a big difference. And the burden I like to just to impress you is the reason why the work needs to be in the students' hands is because by this way, when they take the ownership for the gospel on their campus, their function is brought out. When the full-timers take ownership, the student's function gets annulled. An experience. I'm just going to share my own experience. You know, serving on the campus, very much the way we've done before, was we're burdened for the gospel on the campus. We realize the young people need to be gained for the Lord's recovery. And so the UCI is where I'm from. We would get together with the team, and we would pray, and we would coordinate, and then we would consider, we'd plan to follow the Spirit. We need to have a welcome dinner. And we need to have tracks, and we work everything out. And then as a secondary matter, oh yeah, we need the students to be with us, to help us. And so we'll go and fellowship with the students, join with us. Got to be burdened for the gospel on the campus. And the students, they're positive, they're open, they'll join with us. But many times it's been an extent, it's kind of like pulling teeth to get them to come to the welcome dinner. Because, you know, the bottom problem is they're not really owning it. There is a lack of ownership there. So then they come to the welcome dinner, and the students are there. And what do? They all hang out with each other. And when new students come, they have no interest, no burden. Yeah. And then what happens? The full-timers go and try to meet all the new students. And our own students are all having a good time together, enjoying the Lord, or enjoying each other. I don't know what they're enjoying. And we're scratching our head. How come? Why don't you talk to the students? And so little to our knowledge, now we realize that and are taking ownership in doing so many things, our own students' function is being nullified. Not consciously, even unconsciously. They're positive. They want to participate, but because you got all these older, experienced ones doing everything, they feel they don't have a part. But then, now we began to learn, what we need to do is put the burden, the responsibility, into the hands of the students. Yes, they're younger. There's lessons to learn, but they got to learn the lessons. And so there has been a real paradigm shift in our consideration, how we're going to labor on the campus. Yeah, the team is there, but our primary function is to work with the students. The students need to come together and coordinate. They need to pick up the burden for the campus. And so just a little experiences, when we began to have that experience, I could just testify from a full-timer's perspective, when the students coordinating, they planned it, they prepared it. We had this one example like a barbecue lunch in the summer to meet the freshmen, and the students took ownership. They prepared everything, and then sure enough, I show up there. I'm helping too, but the students are there in force. They're there preparing things, getting things together, getting it ready, and then now finally the freshmen come, And then I see the students that they're aggressively contacting these freshmen, taking care of them, speaking to them the word, getting connected with them. I was so happy. I didn't have anything to do. I was made jobless. I didn't even have a freshman to talk to anymore. Because all the students were rising up. I was so happy. Because they were taking the ownership, they were functioning. So this is the burden, that the students will really pick up the ownership. It is your campus. And by your taking the ownership, then you will spontaneously rise up and function. And I learned a lot, that the students can do a lot more than we think. Our so-called help, yes, you're younger, and there is a portion for the full-timers. We help, we support, we supply. But then you all need to take the ownership for the gospel on the campus. So now, it's a couple more minutes. I'd like to read another portion, just in case you haven't gotten it yet. The utterance here is very striking. This kind of blends in for tomorrow's fellowship as well. And it says here, another basic principle is that if there is no one who is burdened at a certain school, you should not try to work there. Did you get that? If no one is burdened at that school, you cannot work there. The only way to work on a campus is if you work on certain students who can be raised up as a nucleus. No matter how much experience you have working for the Lord, if you do not have burdened students on a campus, you can do very little there. Yeah, therefore, do not try to begin a work at a campus in which no students are meeting. Simply endeavor to raise up a nucleus of students on that campus and help them to realize that they have a responsibility for their campus. In this way, you can burden them to rise up. Once they realize their responsibility and become burdened, they will form a nucleus. This nucleus will be the start of the work on their campus. Now, the brothers tomorrow will focus more about the matter of this nucleus. But I'd like to impress you that, just like it says here, if there's no burdened students, then we can't work there. There is no campus work. And so I like to encourage everything. I have a renewed view on this point, especially to these ones who may be the only student or maybe just one or two on your campus. And you might think, well, I'm the only one here. Not much can happen. Got to wait for a commando full-time team to come in to preach the gospel and gain some students. Then there can be really a campus work. And I have to tell you, that concept is wrong. The fact that you are on that campus, God has placed you. You know, there's a verse here, I forgot the fellowship. God has placed all the members, right? God has placed you on that campus, not just to get a good education. He has placed you on that campus for the gospel.
Amen.
You are a functioning member.
Amen.
And so it is normal and healthy. You would be burdened for the gospel on your campus.
Amen.
If you are a burdened student, that's the start of the campus work. It starts with you. If you just, it's by yourself, you begin to pray. The Lord will move through your prayer. If you have two of you, wonderful, come together, begin to pray. That will be the beginning of the campus work on your campus. The gospel work will begin right there. Your concept needs to be changed. You can't wait for some outsiders or experienced ones to come and do something. It begins with you. Yes, you need the older saints. Yes, you will need the full-timers. But the gospel work begins with you. You pick up a burden, the responsibility for the gospel on your campus. That campus belongs to you. And then that way you begin to pray. And that way you begin to form a nucleus. And in this way, the Lord will have a way to carry out his work on that campus. And there will be a move. So I don't know how many campuses here are represented. But I consider each of you as a seed of the gospel. Okay, I think that's good enough. Now, what we like to do is give some time. We have allocated about 15 minutes today, and we'll be doing this for tomorrow and the next day. We have asked some students who have some particular experience of rising up, taking the lead for the gospel on their campus, of being formed into a nucleus, of being in companions for the gospel, even the experience of the homes. And so he had asked them to come, and they had prepared some fellowship. And so they can come up now, actually. I think the ones who are prepared for today, they'll come forward to the mic. And each of them has about 3 minutes to share. And, you know, what I just like to say this as they come up is that seeing is believing. You know, David and I and other brothers, we can speak to you till our face is blue about this. And, you know, it won't have that much impact. Actually, the real speaking begins now when they give their testimony of their own experience of their labor on the campus. And you'll hopefully get the point that it is possible for the students to bear the burden for the labor on the campus, for the students to be formed together, coordinate together. So, amen. I think that's good enough. I think each of the guitars will help give 3 minutes. And so I think we know who's going first, right? You're starting? Okay, amen.
Amen. I'm Shannon. I'm in Austin. And we've had something kind of unique happen. As many of you know, we used to have about 100 full-timers. And then they cut it to about 40 full-timers. And that wasn't all that happened. They recently got put on probation because there were full-timers at the table and they didn't have a student ID. And so this forced a whole bunch of students to rise up. It didn't happen all at once, but first there's a decrease in full-timers. But now since the full-timers can't be at the table, the students have to rise up. Otherwise, there's not going to be anything on campus for them, for anything at the table. The students are the only ones at the table. The full-timers aren't there anymore. I think that's the first main thing. And it's really caused the students to come together. And from my experience, when I walk by the table, I don't want to see older people coming up to me. I want to see students that have my experience and that also are going through what, you know, we all go through together. And actually, at another campus, I was in line, and there was this girl, and she was talking to me about how she was a Christian. And I said, oh, well, we have a Christian group on campus. And she said, oh, yeah, do you guys have a table out there? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, do you guys even have any college students? Because I saw two people over 60, and they asked me to come meet with the college group. And I was just like, oh, Lord, it really made me realize, like, we need to rise up. They don't want just the older ones coming up to them. And even one of the new ones, she felt left out. She felt like the only reason she was getting called was because she was left out, because an older one kept calling her. None of the students were calling her, and she felt left out, and she goes, I'm just this little one just being stranded off, and the older ones have to call me to take care of me, and she's not with us. But it just made me see, you know, we have to rise up. They want us to be the ones to speak to them. And the full-timers have their portion, but we have to be the ones to contact them. And also, not just in calling them and being, hey, can you come to the meeting? Okay, great, thanks, bye. We need to show, like, a genuine interest in them, because that's really what gains their hearts, too.
So last year we were placed on probation. The university slapped us on the hand and said, you know, it's a no-no. But we began to realize that we were the face of the club. We are Christians on campus. It's the students, not the full-timers. And we need to rise up in a strong way. Mm-hmm. We struggled together, but our spiritual appetite began to increase. The more we spoke for the Lord and flowed out, the more we experienced fresh grace. We have been diving into the Word and ministering together for the sake of, first, our personal supply, and second, for the shepherding of the new ones. And we need to receive the flowing in, but we also need to flow out. In early March of this year, some of us students came together at UT Austin, and we were burdened for the campus, and we began to gather together on the Lord's Day to pray. We got off to a really slow start, but the Lord has built us together, and we've enjoyed touching the Lord in such a fresh way. We also set up a student prayer meeting on Wednesdays where we found out we don't know how to pray. We started off, our brother Tim C. gave us a burden to pray for. He left the room after that, so it was just us students, no full-timers. We prayed for 7 minutes. That's all. But slowly, we have been we've been able to pray a lot longer. Sometimes hours. Sometimes they have to stop and say, okay, you gotta go home. But as soon as we stopped trying and realized how short we were, we became desperate for the Lord. we began to realize that we didn't have enough feeling for the Lord's move. We were inadequate, unfaithful, and even unable to pray in a pure way. The more we realized this, the more we experienced the Lord's presence. The Lord changed our focus from desiring quick outward results on the campus to just praying desperately, waiting on Him, gazing upon His face, and allowing Him to shine in us and impart His burden into us. The desperation has brought out the twos and threes. We pray a ton in twos and threes. That's how we even start before coordination. We just pray. And then we have our own coordination before we actually start doing any kind of work on campus. But praise the Lord, this is normal. This is just a normal way of living, to serve according to our function. As members of one of another in the body of Christ, the Lord's blessing is there when the students are gathered together to pray and minister to the Lord, to touch His burden and heart for the fellow students on our campuses. We just need to pray a lot. You know, pray for the Lord's burden. The Lord is faithful and will provide a way for us to go on. We can testify that this is very normal and very enjoyable, even life-changing. Many of us are burdened now to give the rest of our college years to the Lord and what He wants on our campuses.
Amen.
And the thing is, the biggest thing is we're still learning.
My name is Kathy, and I guess I'm representing Cypress College. I'd just like to share my experience on preaching the gospel. Oh, the Lord desires that we preach the gospel. Preach the gospel on our campuses. Not allow just the full-timers to do it, but we can do it. And I do see that preaching the gospel is not what I thought it was. Preaching the gospel is just preaching, speaking what you enjoy. It's not preaching or telling them doctrines or teachings, but just what you enjoy. Like, we're just branches in the vine, and the overflow of life produces the fruit. So we just need to abide in the vine and speak whatever we enjoy of the Lord. And also endure the matter of praying with companions. In order to preach the gospel, we need companions. We cannot preach the gospel on our own, only for a short time, but eventually we need companions. And this semester, we've been just having little twos and threes to pray for contacts that we have preached the gospel to. And it's just been so sweet. We can see that the Lord is moving in them, and they're still connected. You know, they're not connected to the full-timers. They're connected to the students. You know, they're more open to the students. They're always calling you, not the full-timers, you know. And I enjoy that any time could be a time to preach the gospel, or even, like, passing a track, you know, wherever you go, passing a track. Drive through, pass the track. You know, that's preaching the gospel. Your living on campus can be preaching the gospel. And I just pray that, Lord, the Lord would thrust us out. There's so many seeking students around us. May we see that, oh, they don't have the meaning of their human life. But we know it. We have it. We have this Christ in us. Pray that, oh, that He would thrust us out. Thrust us out to our friends. To even our relatives, to those on our campuses. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name is Shepherd, and I'm from the campus at UC Irvine. And in the spring of 2007, we had a healthy campus team of over 20 full-timers. And so for the students, it was good news because we didn't really have to do much. But we found out in that spring that most of them were leaving, going to school or migrating, and our team was being reduced to 6 full-timers. And so at the time, all the full-timers were like, okay, you guys got to pick it up now. We're leaving. And we have a weekly student coordination on Mondays. And when we came together, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to start. And so it wasn't just me, but a lot of students had this reminder in 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, first of all, prayers. That was just what we did at first. All we did was pray. We gave it to the Lord. We had no plans. We had nothing to start with, nothing to work with, and the full-timers sat back and said, oh, you guys figure it out, you know? And so that's what we did. We prayed and we prayed. And I remember one particular coordination that we had when we came together, the first thing we did was pray, Lord, bring us into our spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we don't know what to do.
Amen.
Lord, but we just trust you.
Amen.
Oh, this is your campus.
Amen.
And through that prayer, you know, it brought in a lot of enjoyment. A lot of students started getting into the ministry, into the word. like students would be, oh, I enjoyed this verse. Let's pray read 1 Corinthians 14:26. Each one has. Amen. And we would pray read and we would enjoy and overflow. And in an hour, our coronation's over and we haven't even started yet. But it's just that, and even we began that way. In the end, we would pray for the students we had a burden for. And in that prayer, we would have maybe 14, 15 names. And we could not pray for all of them. And we would go over the time every time. And now we have two coronations to cover all the material we need to. But at the time, it was just something new to us that we had so much to cover and so much to pray for. And through this prayer, I have to say that's where the burden came. That's where we were really burdened to, like Scott said, organize these barbecues, organize prayer times, meet the students. And through our prayer and our burden, we really learned how to coronate together. And I appreciate that in Revelation 3:8, well, let me pull it up. It's about, the verse says, I know your works. Behold, I've put before you an open door, amen, which no one can shut, amen, because you have a little power, amen, and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Amen. And so we just saw, you know, we're students. We may not be that constituted yet. We may not, like, be functioning all the time and burning all the time, but we have a little power. Amen. And with this little power, the Lord can do a lot, amen, especially when we're built up in coronation and prayer. Amen. And so I appreciate it. This was during the spring. During the summer, we had a very good work on the campus, bringing freshmen in and contacting freshmen. But what I appreciated was not the outward work that happened. It wasn't so much the students that we contacted. It wasn't so much if we had remaining fruit or not, because the Lord promises that we will have remaining fruit. But what I appreciated the most is that we learned how to pray, how to coordinate, and how to take the Lord's way.
Amen. Amen. I'm Alan. I'm also from UCI. And I'll just be sharing on the gospel time that we've been having every Tuesday at UCI. And so this gospel time, you know, it came first from the winter training, right, on Acts, last winter training. You know, that was the number one step. And then after that, right after that, the UCI students, they had a retreat, right, and it was on the burden for man and loving man, right? So then I remember right after that, the next Monday, you know, in our coordination, the students brought up, you know, we need to have a gospel time on campus, you know, so because this is our campus, right? Before there was a full-time gospel time, right? The full-timers would go out on the gospel time, and this was intended for students to come along, right, to join slowly, to usher them in, right? But no students went. It was only full-timers. But then, so through, like, much coordination and prayer, right, we started this time every Tuesday, starting last quarter, to go out on the gospel. And this was student-led, right? And then many students came, and they continue to come. Amen. Amen. So just my experience on the gospel, you know. Before we go out on gospel time, we'd all labor together on the word, right? We'd get into the truths, get into the tracts, and then I just appreciate it, you know. It just, by getting into the word with all the other students, you know, it really constitutes you when you go out on the gospel. You know, just one experience, you know, I was able to use the third part, right? Say, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, right? It says God made you with a body, soul, and spirit, amen, right? And this spirit, you know, is the organ to contact God. Amen. And then, you know, in John 4:24, it says God is spirit, amen, big S, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Amen. And that's the little S. Amen. So that's just a little bit, amen. And then also, okay, so yeah, the Lord, you know, he blessed us because it was a student-led coordination, right? Or student-led gospel time. He blessed many with remaining fruit. But the greatest blessing that I saw, you know, is that through this gospel time, you know, the Lord really grew in all the students. You know, they really vitalized the students in other aspects of the church life. You know, after this gospel time, you know, many students, they began to prophesy during the prophesying meeting. You know, every prophesying meeting to exercise, to try to speak for the Lord. And also, you know, the prayer meetings, all the students, many students, including myself, first time, right, going to the prayer meetings. And then, you know, because they realize, you know, that the college students need to go to the prayer meetings. They have their portion in the prayer meetings. Amen. Amen. And then, so, in conclusion, right, this gospel time, right, it came after seeing something, right, seeing something and being burdened with something. So I just appreciate, you know, like, once we see something, you know, we have to follow the vision. Amen. We have to obey the heavenly vision. Amen. And through that, you know, the students rose up and they had a gospel time. They had a gospel time, and after that, you know, we were normalized into our Christian, normalized, amen. Another function.
Amen.